David Pepper is kind enough to join us. He's the chair of the Ohio Democratic Party, and he's a noted author. We actually talked to him once before about his book, which predicted the Russia scandal. He's kind enough to join us about some scandals going on in Ohio and talk once again about his foresight into seeing where this country was going well before everyone else did. David, thank you very much for the time.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Thank you very much. First of all, let's once again remind people, you wrote a book. Politico even did an article on it where you basically kind of, within your novel, you predicted this Russia scandal actually happening within your novel.
Yeah, and you know, I think when we interviewed, it was probably before a lot of the reality sort of came out that it was predictive. But yeah, I was poking away at a book years ago where I put together this crazy plot that a Russian oligarch would try and rig American elections. And I published it in the middle of 2016. And as I say, my first attempt at fiction failed. It ended up coming true. And then I wrote a second book about dark money. But my goals in these books was actually to try and point out that we have really big problems in our political system that make us vulnerable to dark money groups or interference. And unfortunately, you know, some of the things I was trying to explain that could happen ended up happening.
Well, and now it gets even worse and worse here because, I mean, you know, with the Roger Stone now being linked into clearly being the relation, the linchpin between Guccifer 2.0 and WikiLeaks, you also now have the person that's coming out basically stating that it's almost confirmed that Russia did indeed, if not, you know, I know they tried to hack the election systems, but through manipulation of the populace in Wisconsin and Michigan, that those two states specifically probably were turned to Trump by the Russians. Yeah, it's looking more and more like, you know, everything about this 2016 election was dirty.
Yeah, you know, and again, this we need to crack down on whatever Russia did, but it also gets back to we have allowed through decisions like Citizens United and all these nonprofit dark money groups, and we've created a system where, you know, it's frankly, unfortunately, not that hard to throw huge untraceable money into doing, you know, fake grassroots efforts, you know, online ads that no one knows who's the source of them. I mean, we have allowed our system to get so sort of loose when it comes to rules and campaign finance that a foreign government, frankly, that was paying attention would think, wow, that makes it pretty easy for us to cause trouble. And I think, you know, in addition to having hearings on what Russia did, we should also be looking internally, how can we clean up a system that frankly, is too vulnerable to people who want to make trouble for us?
David Pepper joining us from the Ohio Democratic Party, noted author, too. And I should mention, your second book is already out, correct?
Yeah, it came out a couple months ago, and it's called, the first one's called The People's House, the second one's called The Wingman, and that one gets more into, you know, the post-Citizens United world of what, you know, it's a novel, it's like the first one, it's a thriller, but it tries to also paint the real picture of how dark money lets people do all sorts of shenanigans in real politics. And we're seeing that play out, whether it's the Koch brothers, whether it's, you know, people getting into primaries and trying to cause trouble there. It tries to tell the story of, again, how that type of thing can really happen.
When you look at, and I'm not sure exactly how things are going in Ohio, but I imagine they're similar to what's going on here in Minnesota. One of the things I would say is different this time around, if it's not too late, is that in the past, especially since Obama came to power 2010, 2012, 2014, 2016, that Democrats almost, it was comical to watch Democrats try to run apologetically as a Democrat. I'm sorry, I'm a Democrat. I mean, I'm really more of a moderate Republican. And what one of the things I think Bernie Sanders really did and other progressives really have done is kind of kick down this notion. It's like, wait a minute here. You can be a proud Democrat, and if you're a proud Democrat, the Republicans really don't have a counterpunch for that. And what it's kind of this grand secret, this brainwashing that the Democratic Party itself had convinced themselves, it seems to be lifting. I know a lot of Democrats for the first time in at least a decade, they're running as a proud Democrat, which is great to see.
Absolutely.
Is that something you're seeing as well?
We are. And I think as we see a lot of the polling come out of these special elections, I mean, it's sort of core Democratic issues that are the things that people, including swing voters, are responding to. You know, who's fighting for affordable health care? Who's going to fight for Social Security? We just saw come out today, polling suggests that if you were a swing state swing district Republican and you voted for that tax scam, it's a really bad thing to vote for in the voters' eyes. So I think we can run, as you say, unapologetically. I think we can run on issues that are good for us. I mean, my caution, though, is in a state like Ohio, what I wouldn't do is run on, you know, Mueller and Russia exclusively, and in many cases that would be secondary to pointing out that Trump, since he got there, and Republicans like Rob Portman here and Republicans in Wisconsin, they have been voting, in Minnesota, I'm sorry, have been voting against your health care, against your financial interests, and when you get back to that progressive message on issues that matter to people at their kitchen table, we're doing very, very well.
Well, we have Tom Emmer and Jason Lewis and the albino leech, that's Eric Paulson. We can hammer on those Republicans as well. It's interesting when you talk about the dynamic of where you attack, because I agree with you. I think the Russia affair, let Mueller take that. You know, if you want to mention impeachment,
it's going to be in the news either way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and we have Richard Painter, who's running for a Senate seat here, who's very impeachment. That's one of his main things. But the reality is, Trump's a low-hanging fruit, you know, and every one of these guys, we remember in 2010 when every Republican asked every Democrat, did you vote for Obama? Well, what's good for the goose? I mean, you can. I think the one question you can ask every Republican, which is going to put them into a corner, which they do not want to answer, is did you vote for Clinton or did you vote for Trump? Because there's no good answer for them on that. And I think that hanging these guys on Trump and his buffoonery is really the low-hanging fruit for the Democrats this election cycle.
Yeah. But especially when you tie it to votes like their health care votes.
Yeah.
Those are toxic votes in most districts, even in Republican districts. And that is when Trump and Republicans and Paul Ryan and the others are on the weakest ground, because voters see through generally this tax scam. They see through the health care stuff. The Affordable Care Act is popular. You know, John Kasich in Ohio, for example, he supported Medicaid expansion. 71% of Ohioans support it. The fact that in our governor's race, Mike DeWine, the Republican, is for cutting Medicaid expansion, and our candidate, Richard Cordray, is for keeping it. That is a huge advantage to us, because the number one issue right now is people want accessible, affordable health care. So I think getting it, tying it to Trump on these bread and butter kitchen table issues versus the stuff, like you say, that's on the news anyway every day. And by the way, the people who are less political, the ones who aren't as much diehard one way or another, if all they see is doing is a back and forth on the latest sort of investigation stuff, a lot of them, they're tuning that out because it doesn't matter as much to their everyday lives. The healthcare votes do. The tax votes do. So, you know, we should always, you know, all these unconstitutional and bizarre things we're seeing, we need to stand up to that stuff. But in terms of some closing messages, my best advice to a candidate is go back to this bread and butter stuff where the Republicans and Trump on and by the way, also the corruption, have just been, you know, going after, you know, everyday people and their livelihoods and their well-being through votes like the healthcare votes.
And I agree with you, Hall. And that healthcare issue runs well in metro areas and in rural areas. Absolutely.
Totally.
By the way, davidpepper.com for the website if you want to get the wingman or also the People's House. I want to look at Ohio specifically, because there have been some scandals. I would say Ohio's kind of between Wisconsin and Minnesota. You know, 8 years ago, Wisconsin put Scott Walker and Republicans in charge. Minnesota put Mark Dayton in charge. And these states have been on very divergent paths. They've diverged away from each other quite dramatically. Ohio seems to be like in the middle, but because they have had a fairly large Republican presence in that state, you see the Republicans for who they are. You've had a few doozies of some scandals in Ohio, especially let's start with the charter school. There was a huge scandal with the charter school.
Yeah, the biggest scandal in the history of Ohio is playing out right now, and it's for-profit online charter schools, K-12, where these schools, and one in particular, basically loaded up campaign contributions on Republican politicians, and those politicians gave them a law that allowed these people to become millionaires by every time a student would leave a public school to become a, quote, online student, the $7,000 or $8,000 or somewhere between would follow that student and go into the hands of this for-profit company. It turns out these companies weren't taking attendance. So they can't even show that the students they made money out of even were attending the classes, signing on. And we think that from 2 years, just 2 years of almost, you know, two decades of one school being in existence, they already owe $80 million back, which we will likely never see. So the cost of this, when you expand it out, is going to be hundreds of millions of dollars. That money came straight out of the public schools of every school district in the state. And every Republican running for statewide office this year took money from the people founding these schools, and whether they were the attorney general or the auditor, they turned the other way even as the scam became clear. So this is a perfect case study of when you have one-party rule mixed with a sort of pay-to-play culture of corruption. You're literally, in this case, Ohio politicians sold their kids out to the highest bidder. And by the way, Ohio is very proud of its school system. We were ranked only 10 years ago or 8 years ago. We had the fifth highest ranked public education system in the country. You know, one of the most important assets, if not the most important, is your schools. Thanks to this scandal and the giveaways and students going to worse schools, we now rank 22nd. And so it's a perfect example of, frankly, the national example. This is really like the DeVos model in Ohio, played out on its sort of full, you know, on it, to its full effect. It's an absolute disaster.
Were the people that this money went to, were they even in Ohio or were they out of the state?
Most were Ohio business people well-connected in Columbus, but now they have fancy mansions in Florida and elsewhere, and they've been doing everything they can to transfer the money away. But this is how bad it is. I mean, we have a state auditor who took money from the guy who founded this the most egregious school. He gave the Republican politicians were speaking every year at the graduation of this school. The state auditor, who's now running for attorney general, he gave them 3 awards in 3 years for their outstanding bookkeeping. And we now know that they were cooking the books during those years. But these guys, this is, I say to people in Ohio, this isn't an education scandal. This is a corruption scandal. But the asset that they corrupted happened to be our public schools. These guys saw the schools as a piggy bank. They bought off the legislature to get the law passed on their behalf. And they basically just started raiding public school money to make profits. I mean, it's an absolute outrage. But it's also, again, an example of one-party rule, pay-to-play culture. This is what you get. And this is why the danger, you know, DeVos is pushing for to not crack down on for-profit education. In Ohio, we're a case study of exactly why you need to not have it in the first place, let alone pull away oversight of it. I mean, it's an absolute disaster. And so every single day, our candidates, we go to a different school system, and we point out, you know, Cincinnati Public Schools, they lost $7 million or something, I think it was more than that, in the last 6 years to this one school. It's all over the state. It's an absolute disaster. It is the kind of problem that could cost Republicans a lot of their power this November, because the citizens are finally waking up to what this system really is.
Hopefully they are. You also had, I mean, what's interesting is we had some similar issues here, only we never got to the point of it being online. We would have people that would go start their own brick and mortar version of the school, basically right. Take a bunch of money, and then one day say, oh, the school's closed, and no one knows where the money's at. That's what was happening here. But I mean, my God, it's like, it's almost like, how can we make this corruption absolute? And they figured out a way in Ohio.
Well, we have the other problems too. We've had a lot of operators that have made money in the way you talked about. That was sort of the first round of scandal like 7 or 8 years ago. But the online ones, when you think about that, they are literally getting paid the same amount of money. Every time little Johnny signs up to be an online student, they get the money that would have gone to the public school, even though, of course, they're not providing most of the services. Or they don't have the brick and mortar. They don't have the classroom size of those. But they're getting the same amount of money, in some cases more. And now it turns out they can't show that little Johnny was even at the school or signed on for more than an hour a day. But they get paid as if that student was there all day, every day, for every year. I mean, that it's a scam. I mean, as I said, it's Trump University, but it's paid for by the taxpayers. It was absolutely a scam. And the politicians are the reason it was able to happen. Of course, they siphoned out of the profits they were making big checks to the politicians to let it all keep going. I mean, it makes you sick when you think about it.
And there's a kid.
And so, by the way, that's one of the scandals. But as I've been saying, you know, if you're willing to sell your kids to the highest bidder, you'll sell anything. And so we have other scandals, too. Our speaker resigned 2 months ago because of an FBI investigation that he was doing pay-to-play with payday lenders. Ohio has the highest payday lending rates in the country, over 500%. You know, so they're getting what they paid for. And so we have one of these states, you know, I think we all think of certain states as being maybe the most problematic. Albany's always up there. Well, sad to say that Columbus, Ohio is clearly up there now, too, because, you know, we're literally rigging the system in favor of for-profit schools, payday lenders, you name it. In the meantime, by most measurements, it's kind of like Wisconsin. I always brag about Minnesota. Under your Democratic leadership, you're doing a lot better than Wisconsin. You know, Kasich runs around the country talking about an Ohio miracle. The truth is, 7 years of these kind of shenanigans, 7 years of trickle-down economics, Ohio is much more like Wisconsin. We are lagging in job growth, wages, education, the opioid crisis. We have the highest student debt burden in the country on our young people. This isn't an accident. It's because the pay-to-play and trickle-down policies just don't work in a state or in the country.
We did have a listener contact us. They were wondering, how much did Kasich know about all this stuff, or the pay-to-play with the payday lenders and the charter school scandal?
I mean, the payday lender, I don't want to tie into that. I mean, he's certainly, you know, the governor of a state with this charter school scam. He came out against it earlier than the others. I'll give him credit on that. But it was sort of the big policy push of the Republican Party for the last 15 to 20 years, like in other states, to have, you know, charter schools, including for-profits. Our problem was that the for-profit companies wrote the laws in the first place 15 or 20 years ago. Kasich came along a little later after they were written, and to his credit, seemed to be a little less tied to it. So he came out demanding answers before others. But, you know, he certainly, you know, also I think probably has to answer questions about when did he know and why didn't he do more earlier. But some of the other people who are currently running for governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, they're even more exposed on it. But this has been sort of the heart of the Republican Party policymaking for 15 or 20 years. And no coincidence, who's been the biggest one or two biggest donors to the Republican Party and their politicians for the last 15 or 20 years? For-profit charter school operators. Mm-hmm. So it's not a surprise that that's been their big push.
Well,
and now we literally have FBI and other investigators looking into every part of this from top to bottom, including how they gave contributions to these politicians in the first place.
Well, and I should tie this back to Minnesota here for everyone out there. Reminder, the reason why the Republicans are going after the state auditor in Minnesota is because she was doing her job too good and preventing them from getting away with taking the taxpayer dollars. They didn't like that, so that's why they've been trying to neuter that office as well. David, I am just delighted we were able to get you on today. I know this was kind of last minute. I do appreciate the time. I do want to drive people once again to davidpepper.com. It's as it sounds, davidpepper.com. The books, The People's House and The Wingman. Wingman came out here in February. The People's House we talked about before, and I remember actually having a few of the listeners say how much they enjoyed that book as well. So
good.
Go get both the books. David, by all means, come back on when you get your next book or if you've got anything else, because my God, you're brilliant, man.
Hey, thanks a lot. Good talking to you.
Good to talk
Take
to
care.
You as well. David Pepper, kind enough to join us once again. He is currently the chair of the Ohio Democratic Party and, of course, a noted author. And you can find his books, once again, davidpepper.com. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.